Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, Andrew.
And I am the other of tonight's hosts, your not Sorvan Mihail. I was about to talk about the Sorvan Mihail. I am your Amon-Khan Mihail, Daniel, and we are joined in spirit by our third host, Josh. He is feeling highly under the weather. And in a house full of people, if you are under the weather, all you want to do is sleep and die rather than do a podcast. And so we are giving him the night off.
Yes, that is indeed what we are doing. So before we get into tonight's topic, before we get into introducing our guest, we got some housekeeping to take care of. Because that as always... We have to remind everybody to go and check out www. That's three W's. Looks like six V's, but it's in fact three W's, not four. BlackTowerPod.com to make that super confusing. Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.BlackTowerPod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left if you're on computer. There are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out, and you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. Website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn on demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent five videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website, a quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent five episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar, where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon, where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website, where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out. So who else should they go and check out there, Daniel?
That depends. Which one of these am I supposed to talk about right now, and which one are you going to throw in?
The one whose worst half is not here with us right now.
Gotcha. So after you've gone and checked out www.blacktowerpod.com, go and check out The Crystal Barista. There is a link on blacktowerpod.com to her merch store, and you can also find it just by searching The Crystal Barista.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower Podcast. Of course, this is The Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat. You can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
Yep. And also keep your eyes on her website and Facebook, especially if you live in or near slash within drivable distance of the relative Ogden, Utah area, because she does rock festivals and they go on rock hounding trips and that kind of stuff. And when people can join her on those, and probably Josh, that's posted probably out. So you can go in and hang out with them and get the same experience that Morshadi has. So
yeah.
Without further ado, when we found out today that Josh was sick, we had the idea to very last minute reach out to other content creators and see if anybody else wanted to just hop on today, because we just felt like, you know, having a third person. We're used to the three amigos vibe. And luckily enough, we were able to have a fellow content creator that agreed to be able to come on, that was thankfully available. And of course, with us today, we have Justin from Tales of a Red Arm podcast. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. Yay! I saw the eyebrows go up and I was like, I fucked it up.
No. I don't know how you could mess that up. It'd be really difficult, but
you haven't met me before.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're Lex Desick or something, maybe. But
so, Justin, go ahead and say hi and tell the people a little bit about what you do and where they can find you and all of that fun stuff.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Well, I am Justin. I am the the veteran half of the Tales of Red Arm podcast. And
the senior senator from New York.
No. My other half is my buddy James. He's from England, so massive time difference. But he is a new reader to the Wheel of Time. So when I was like, I want to do a podcast about Wheel of Time because I love Wheel of Time and I get a lot of content and stuff that I can go through. So I was like, hey, James, you want to try reading this? Yeah, basically, he's like, do you want to try reading this? And he's like, I've heard good things. Why not? So we started our trek, probably October? I don't even remember when we started it, but
it's a good month.
It's been a while. And We finally just wrapped up on the Eye of the World. And
nice.
All of the episodes are available for that because we did a content dump of 22 episodes last Tuesday, so yesterday. So we dropped, we're at 54 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, more content.
Excellent. More
content. And
more
yeah.
More content, more problems?
More content, yes. Well, no. Well, each episode is a deep dive of the actual chapter. It's I think the longest one we have now is 2 hours and 20 minutes, and that was purely on accident because we kind of got derailed. But they run anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half on average. But
nice.
we actually go through the whole chapter, and like I call it paraphrasing because I'll get sued if I do it normally. So I paraphrase most of the chapter, but then we have specific parts we read that we also do kind of like voice acting for.
Nice.
He likes doing that stuff because he kind of aspires to be a voice actor, and I'm like, I just do it because I'm a mockingbird, so I just do it because I like to, and I love Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, but that's beside the point. Basically, yes. His voice, at first his voice was very grating on me when I first listened to it, and then it mellowed out really quick. I was like, okay, this guy is gonna put me to sleep, it's great. But in a good way, not a bad way. So we basically go through and I plant the seeds of potential crossovers later on in other books. And we have a favorite saying, which is, I have a favorite saying because it's what I say. It's tuck that away for later. Because nice. I, reading all of this, the series already, I can always go through and be like, you know, I know this point is actually related to this point way over here. And I want at some point to come back and say, you remember that point back in Eye of the World where this happened? Yeah, that's what this is now, 7 books later or something. You know? So I like to point out kind of things like that. But I also, we like to break down the characters, their personalities, their character growth and development as they grow. Because like at the beginning of the Eye of the World to the end of the Eye of the World, it's not a massive growth, but it's a little bit. So it's nice to have that kind of content that we can put into it. And he likes to ask some weird questions sometimes, so I like to answer him with weirder answers. But we like to have a fun time, I suppose.
Excellent.
Hopefully that was short. Sweet. For you.
Yeah, no, that was solid. No,
that's perfectly fine. Before
I should say where we find us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I completely forgot.
Do that.
The easiest way, I mean, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Twitter is at Tales of Red Arm. Facebook is just Tales of Red Arm page. You can reach us at talesofredarm@gmail.com if anybody wants to like talk or ask questions or whatever. But you can go to anchor.fm/talesofredarm and get all our stuff there, or you can really find us just on any of the major places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, basic usual stuff.
Nice.
And if you forget, you can always do the trusty old Google and just search Tales of a Red Arm podcast.
That might work. I don't know. I've never actually tried it. I
guarantee it does work.
Okay. Hopefully it does.
I have done it.
We also just created a Discord server, basically, when we joined the community content creator guys. They're like, hey, you should make a Discord. I was like, you're not wrong. So
nice.
So we did. It's half built. I still have to figure out some of the bots, but aside from that, it's basically fully functional. It's the most complicated thing I've ever made in my life. I want to keep it that way. But yeah. So you can reach us there. It's just Tales of a Red Arm Discord, and the links are in the Facebook and in our Twitter profile. So
excellent.
On Anchor, can you like type up like a description for the episode that like shows up with it?
You can. I usually do not because I see that as kind of like it's taken as a spoiler to like what's going to happen in the chapter. I mean, technically they've already read the book because it's a read along, so they're supposed to like read it and then listen to the podcast and be like, here's the little things we missed. But if they don't want to read that chapter, they can still get the gist of it because of the paraphrasing. And then you know, you can kind of do whatever you want with it at that, but I leave out the major descriptions because I want them to read the book themselves and get the big descriptions, because I could spend hours on just the descriptions because it's Robert Jordan. But
I was just gonna say, like, in those descriptions you could put like your links to like your Twitter, your Facebook, your
not a bad Discord. Idea actually. Yeah. Didn't think about that. Usually I just do like, you know, doing this particular chapter, like I'll change the chapter and whatnot every single episode. But I usually keep it very, very simple because I don't want it to be one of those overbearing, boring paragraphs you read. You're like, I just gonna skip it anyway. But that's actually not a bad idea. I just gotta remember to do it.
Once you do it the first time from there, it can pretty much be copy paste and then you just
I copy paste and I change the chapter and episode name. Nice. Simple.
Indeed.
All right. So before we introduce the topic of tonight's discussion, we need to put on some protection. And indeed. Justin, I'm going to let you choose which one. I need you to choose 1, 2, or 3.
4.
No, that's,
you
that's
can't it. Choose 4.
Ah.
Oh, 4.
I'm actually okay with that. I can't remember what that's from, but I don't think I know what that's from. What is that from?
Nice save there.
Nice save.
No, it is from.
I was thinking Crunchyroll for some reason. I don't know why.
it's from an adult site.
Oh.
The sound is pretty much of meme quality now.
Oh, yes. Okay. I just like, it sounds like Crunchyroll.
But you passed the test because the meme is to play it and see if anybody like jerks and looks up at you because it's like, you watch porn.
Well, half of me was thinking it was like the Valve. I'm like, no, Valve's more like, Darrr. I was like, no, not really. I can't figure it out. But I don't know why I was thinking Crunchyroll. Probably because I play a Crunchyroll podcast. Crunchyroll app.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. All right. So,
1, 2, or 3?
So 1, 2, or 3.
I'll go 2, I guess.
All right. Those. Well, you're probably going to, I mean, I enjoy all of them. But here is this one from our lovely, lovely friends that do the work of voicing many, many different books and much skirt smoothing and under bosom arm crossing. Here you go.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
Ta-da.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I can dig it.
Everyone's safe now.
We dig it. All right. So what are we talking about, Daniel?
So today we thought that it would be fun to, with our guest, actually, I should really be honest with what happened. We didn't have a topic. So we asked some people to help us out with that. And the one that won, and our favorite as well, was actually the sort of a deep dive on the Forsaken, sort of in general, but also about sort of the biggest failures of the Forsaken, not just that they exist or what they do necessarily, but who is the biggest failure and what are their biggest failures as individual acts in the series?
Let's be clear, like, we had ideas in between myself Daniel and Josh. Yes. We always have ideas, but I didn't feel like having to think that hard. It was half the reason, and because I thought it'd be kind of neat. We posed the question to our Patreons in Discord of what kind of episode that they would like to see this one be about. And after the tsunami of New Spring deep dive comments, it was decided on the Forsaken. And I was like, well, we can't talk about all 13.
That's not realistic.
Yeah, we already have essentially like one series right now going that we do like on a monthly basis for this, or not for the Forsaken, but we already do the background breakdown series, and I don't quite yet want to start another series and tie up two time slots every month.
Yep.
So we narrowed it down to the Forsaken being an insufferable continuous bunch of ne'er-do-well fuck-ups. So
indeed.
Yeah. Whether whether by their design or somebody else's, or just, you know, whether you meant to or not, a fuck up is still a fuck up.
I think I think what's really important here is that you guys were chosen, and that's how we talked about this topic. Sorry.
We are going
to appreciate it.
Start with you know, going a little bit into generally what makes the Forsaken not work. And then while we are talking about that, Justin, and maybe Andrew, if you have not nailed something down or whatever, be thinking about sort of what you think is the Forsaken that fails the hardest, effectively. Their whole plan just doesn't work very well and was kind of fraught from the beginning. And then in addition to that, whether it's from that particular Forsaken overall, or a different one, be thinking of a part of their plan, or like the single act that just fails the most miserably. So be thinking of those two things while we sort of talk generally about them, and we'll do the rest of that in a little bit when we've gone over more generally and have given some time to think. So
you want to are you going to cover like the, like just their like plans, or like them in that as well?
Mostly who they are as people and whatnot, and their general personality, not actually really go into plans like, very much. But
you said, I was like, I already know the answer.
that's
great. I don't want to burn all at the first of this.
No, you should know your answer, because I think that I don't know if we'll all three have different answers, but it's definitely possible that we will, because let's be honest, people have different ideas of what failure is.
What are you talking about?
But yeah, so just to sort of kick us off a little bit, and obviously the two of you, please feel free to jump in if you have anything to add, but the Forsaken are very classic villains. They are very much a team of villains who don't work together. And that's one of the reasons that villains in, you know, comic books and movies and television and everything don't really have as much success as a lot of the heroes. Because one of the things that we are trying to teach people in general, and especially children, is that working together for the benefit of everyone is actually a good thing. The Forsaken are the classic villains who refuse to do that. They regularly... Yeah, they're super evil. They're the super evil
is literally the whole thing.
And they will regularly stab each other in the back and step on each other's plans and try to make it to the top, partially because their team has a leader. And everybody wants to be the leader, and to be the leader, you have to show yourself to be the best, because they're villains, and this is the way that they work. Yeah. Andrew, you were going to say something.
Yeah, so one of the things I find interesting is when we talk about the Forsaken, we generally think of the 13.
Yes.
It's always, when it's something bad, just like,
it always you 13?
Yeah. And even within the series, there's the saying of the Dark One and all the Forsaken are bound in Shao Ghul, bound by the Creator at the moment of creation, bound until the end of time, which is not true. It is not. The Chosen or the Forsaken didn't come about until the Age of Legends. So they could not have been bound at the moment of creation into the same prison as the Dark One. You could argue there that it'd be fated, and then we're just splitting hairs. Which I would agree that it's fated that whoever they are. But
I mean, to be fair, I would argue that. I would argue that it's a mantra that they want to believe rather than whether it's true or not.
It's something that helps the kids feel better at night. Like, the devil is in hell and he can't touch you or do anything to you. And then you turn 10 and you get the fire and brimstone speeches.
Yes.
Yeah, the devil is everywhere. He's in your lotion bottle. Stop.
The devil is inside.
It.
Well, it's
the
like
the devil is in the details. Oh no.
I like details though.
Shoot. Details are kind of my whole thing though.
I was wondering, because like That is one of those weird things that you don't really think about unless you like read the series and you're like, you know, that doesn't make sense now. And then, like you said, it is like that can't work because these people haven't been around since the beginning of time. So I wonder if it's something they think, maybe it's a wordplay. I'd have to probably look at it over and over again to like turn blue or something, but it's probably one of those things where you have the thing that the creator bound the Dark One at the beginning of time, and then there's an addition, which were these other guys who are blocked off as well when this happened, which still doesn't even really that make much sense. And that's one of those things I've always wondered is, how are these people sealed away if the breaking was going on and you still had like Ishmael out, you know,
basically shoving it? Is a special case,
but he's shoving it in like Luce Theron's face, like, haha, you killed everybody, you're insane, but so I'll solve that problem. He's like, okay, I'll make a mountain, see ya.
I mean, and there's more to that. I mean,
it's like, so why is the Forsaken that bound away?
I mean, you look at strength, and Ishmael is literally on par with the dragon.
Yes,
and the
dragon are always in third.
Yeah, but the other thing we think about with the Forsaken is we only ever think of the 13, but during the War of Power, there were literally dozens of the Forsaken that were leading the armies of the Shadow. And
are we referring to Dreadlords, or are we talking about the Forsaken?
Because we're talking about Forsaken overall.
The Forsaken, I thought, were the best of the best. The Dreadlords.
That's what they
like
became. That's what they became known as. Okay. They became known to people in the light, or not that didn't follow the Shadow. The 13 most powerful became known as the Forsaken, because even still, the Forsaken during the last battle, during Tarmogoyen, are still referenced to as the Dreadlords.
Yes.
Because of the tactics and stuff and the mechanisms.
Are, you know, again, it's one of those interesting things where time is cyclical. Mm-hmm. And so the
That's pretty circular reasoning you got there.
Triangle had corners, ending.
Circle.
But yeah, so it's definitely one of those situations where I think that this is more like, and I'm going to be mean to some Americans right now for just a moment. There are plenty of Americans who think that, or who in their head, like Ron Swanson, are like, time started on July 4th, 1776. Everything before that was a mistake. And so I feel like
history, I mean,
that's definitely accurate.
Yeah, because we've never made mistakes in the last 200 years.
What?
Hey, that's only 200 years of mistakes.
If I don't, I mean, admit
look at the last
it,
several
it never
thousand
happened.
Years. I don't.
Indeed. But yes, but that's actually one of the things that I think is going on when they're like, yeah, no, the Dark One was bound at the beginning of time along with the Forsaken and blah, blah, blah. It's the beginning of their time. It's the beginning of what they care about. It's the beginning of when the stories started.
Context.
Because everybody knows, again, when you get a little older, that Santa's not real. That the Forsaken weren't actually bound at the beginning of creation.
You said this was spoiler-free. You didn't expect to tell me Santa's not real. You just broke my heart.
Santa not being real is in book 11. I don't know what you read.
But I guess we shouldn't mention the spoiler where Rand doesn't save the world. It's actually Batman.
Yes. Batman's
oh, come
Batman.
On. It's definitely Frank Castle.
Dude, Frank Castle is a dick.
Yeah. The Chosen, sure.
I mean, yeah, I always find those like two little tidbits of information about the what we know as the Forsaken or the Chosen or those chosen to rule the world forever. Mm-hmm. I always find those two bits of information. I mean, there's a lot about the Forsaken I find interesting in how we, as people that have completed the series or even in the middle of reading the series, often regard the Chosen because. And this was my initial thought for the topic of tonight. Now, I still want to do the discussion on it later, not now. But the idea, too, is like, for the most part of the series, there's some far-off threat that really... they're a threat when they're there, but when they're not, it's like, whatever.
Kinda. Yeah.
And it's very easy to forget just how incredibly dastardly evil and dangerous and sick a lot of these people are. But I want to do another episode on that.
Well, and that's one of my favorite parts is that they'll show up and they'll have done a bunch of different stuff and you'll see the fruits of that labor, but like you won't see them actually do it at all And so, like, Grendel shows up and she'll have, like, six more servants that are, like, kings of their country. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, we didn't see them get them and break them and, you know, all of that stuff. But now we just see her sitting on the king of, you know, this country. And you're like, all right, great. This is fantastic. You're a horrible mess.
Well, like I was saying earlier, was I always thought of the Chosen as like the great generals. Like how we
of
have
the shadow.
Well, kind of like you like have
the,
your great
the converse,
you have,
if you will. You have the
yeah, like
the,
you have Pedro Nile, you
the
have
compliment, if you will.
Lord Agomar, and obviously eventually Matt, but
Rodel.
Yeah, Davern Bashir, Rodel Idaralda. You have all those guys. They're like these great captains. Like you have generals, you have captains, you have all these people that just flooded with them all over the continent and everything, and even in like Shan Chan and everything. But the ones that are like the notables, those yes. are the great generals. And that's the way I've always seen the Chosen was like the Chosen, like they were the early age ones that kind of like joined early, and everybody else coming afterwards is essentially just like, oh, I have this ability to use the one power, but I'm not one of the big 13. So I'm a dreadlord, which puts me in a particular position of power amongst the shadow. Like I'm a higher than a Trolloc, may or may not be higher than a Murdral, depending on how they do that. But they're higher than certain other shadow spawn,
yes.
but they're still lower than the 13. The 13 are like who's going to even try to compare with the Shamael in terms of like, I'm the notable guy. And you can try Daniel, you will fail. But hey, we're talking about Forsaken Failures today, so I guess you fit right in. that's kind of what I was saying. And like when you say like, oh, they're all dreadlords, they're all Forsaken. It's like, I don't know if the title Forsaken or Chosen are necessarily attributed to every single dreadlord, but the dreadlords themselves get the title dreadlord to separate them from like Aes Sedai.
Yeah, and this would have been like an initial conception of these group of people.
They might have thought that. I'm not saying then, that they didn't, but that's
and then
just
you
what I
probably
considered it.
With all the infighting, you'd have like these 13 strongest. It would be like, no, we are truly the Chosen, because they're not going to say we're the Forsaken.
Get with us.
You're like, no, we are the Chosen.
Get with us.
Because any one of us makes the rest of you look like a paper napkin going down the toilet.
Yeah, Andral.
And on Friday we wear pink.
Damn.
I mean, wasn't it?
Ouch.
Is it Samael that only wears black? Or no, it's Demondred. Sorry. I think Demondred's the only one.
Oh, Demondred is absolutely the little goth high school. Like, come on.
You got a problem with goths or something? What? Tell us
no.
something about your feelings. What happened
no,
in high
I have
school?
A problem with
what goth hurts you?
You have to call Richmond, the founder of Goth, the boss.
He is the real Chosen.
So, definitely, I mean, these are all problems with their general idea and planning in so many ways. Again, they get nabbed and stuck with the Dark One in some kind of prison, which it's never really quite explained how they get inside or how much they can do in it or how much Ishamael can actually still touch the world even though he's imprisoned with the Dark One and different things like that.
Well, they did kind of explain that with the seals and like the layers and like somewhere closer to the surface, like Aghanor and Balthamel were like right below the crust, but it doesn't explain what happens to Ishamael.
Like, this is one of the moments where, like, I love Robert Jordan, and it's not that I think that his work is without, like, is above reproach, but I do also love it, and if you criticize it, you better have a good argument for why you're criticizing it. I think that, like, this is one of those ones where, like, it's the unreliable narrator, where it's not actually even necessarily a bad piece of the book, it's just that the people who are telling you this information don't know all of the information. And therefore, when they tell you something like, oh yeah, no, Ishamael can't touch the world, you're like, okay, cool. Ishamael can't touch the world. And then later you read from Ishamael, he's like, yeah, I've been touching the world for years. And you're like, you motherfucker, Moraine.
To be fair,
to be fair,
to be fair,
she is running off of limited knowledge herself.
No, exactly. And that's why, like, so you're a little...
It's the oral tradition telephone system. Truth. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, she says it like it's truth. And so you as
because
the reader,
she believes it's true.
Yes, but when you're in book one and you're like, oh yeah, Ishmael can do things out of the prison because I'm reading this from Moraine and she knows what she's talking about.
She's been right
and then
so
by book
far.
Four,
you're not
you're
wrong.
Like, Maureen, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
But it's like book two. You're like, yeah, so that was a fucking lie.
Well, I mean, to be fair.
To be fair.
I'm going to say that a lot right now. It's like, I have to do this over. So, in defense of Moraine, because I actually like Moraine despite most people's opinions.
Oh, same.
Her, with what they were dealing with, she wasn't under the impression she was dealing with Ishmael. She was dealing with Baal Zemon. And Baal Zemon, being Ishmael, was more or less taking on a form in order to more or less sheepdog corral people into making mistakes or whatnot through terror or something else like that.
Yes. Because
Ishmael may be insane, but he's not stupid. Completely, I should say. But in terms of like what she's like, oh, well, what's going on? And the guys are like, well, we're having dreams about Baal Zemon. And she's like,
and
you didn't tell me this earlier?
Yeah, after like almost an entire book, and she's like, whoa!
Well, and I love
basically.
I think my favorite part of that is that she finally, like, they finally are like, yeah, there's this dude and his eyes and his mouth, like, go on fire. And he calls himself Baal Zemon. And they know to be scared of him. Like, certainly. I'm not saying that they're just in their
dreams.
He's
a dark one popping your dreams. Of course you'd be terrified.
But that's my favorite part. They didn't know that it was supposed to be the dark one. She basically stands there and goes, you do know that Baal Zemon's another name for the dark one, right? And they're like,
whoa. Well, I've done do declare. I've been learned it.
You done been learned. But look at where they came from.
Fuck me like... sideways.
No thanks.
I mean, it would have been it would be hilarious if like they had like an outtake from the actual filming of the series where they have this discussion where Rain's like, how dumb can you be? And like Rand, I'm like, no, Matt is just like, listen here, fucker. Like 2 months ago I thought Trollocs were fake until they burned down my house. Give me a fucking break.
I think the best outtake would be like, how do you guys not know this? How dumb are you? It's like, I just caught a badger to release on the green. What are you talking about?
I put
flour on a dog and let them run outside.
But everybody thought that it was hellhounds or dark hounds.
A week ago, my biggest worry was whether Egwene was going to braid her fucking hair or not.
The terror, the horror.
But it's funny because if I remember correctly, like whenever one of them first starts talking about it, like Maureen kind of hears and she's like, okay, you know, they're just having a nightmare because of the stress and the things they're seeing. And then the others pipe in and they're like, yeah, same. Yeah.
And she's like,
you know,
wait,
we're having threesome dreams here. And she's like,
three is too many.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, actually, if you think about it,
you made bad sleepy weepy, and now you go to sleep forever. You go to sleep in the forever box.
All right, time to go to sleep.
No.
Here's the pillow.
Did no one ever teach you the concept of stranger danger? Come on.
I mean, where are they going to go in a dream where they run into a closed door every single time that they turn around and Baal Zemon's there? It's like Slender Man all over again. But I mean, if you look at if you look at Moraine's typical behavior and whatnot in dealing with, like trying to stay one step ahead of the dark one or anyone trying to reach them. And she doesn't, I mean, to be moderate.
To give credit where credit is due.
There you go. To give credit. She's really smart about staying ahead or at least arriving on time. Cause you know, a wizard is never late, nor is she early. She always arrives precisely when she means to. But in this case, she shows up literally like a couple days, or was it the day before? Or yeah, like the day or night before Winter's Night even happens, which by itself, Teferin pattern, all that stuff, and you never think about that right off the front. But her normal thinking is like, I'm dealing with this foe and I want to outsmart said foe. But here's the thing. Ishamael, who's playing Baal-Zamun, is not the Dark One. So correct. She's thinking she's outsmarting the Dark One, which she might be, but Ishamael, partially insane as he is at the time, I think he goes more full insane later on. But in that time frame...
Actually, I think he gets less insane later on. That's
well, that's after the Morden switch.
No, that's when he gets not insane at all, because it's Rand.
No.
No.
Ishamael goes bleh, and then shadow gathers dead. The seven Dragon Balls.
and brings him back.
And brings him back.
They say, we want Goku. And they give him...
they got Morden.
Yeah.
Well, in that time, you got Ishamael doing his stuff because he's in the world and he's making an actual impact, which why he doesn't show up on himself, I don't know. Because, I mean, he would have crushed Moraine, crushed land, crushed the entire Two Rivers.
Well, he never does. Every thousand years, when he comes out for
40 years, he's always somebody else. He's not Ishamael.
He likes playing dress up. Yeah, with very
talk about smoky eyes.
That is another reason that the Forsaken keep losing, and the Forsaken keep failing, and they overall
confidence or overconfidence.
Overconfidence. Yeah, because they have what I like to call the Power Rangers problem, and that is
they keep losing.
Every single episode of the Power Rangers, they start by trying to punch the problem. Then they try to go into their own individual vehicles and then solve the problem. And then once they realize that the problem is so big that they actually need to combine to fight the problem, they finally do that and then they solve the problem and the episode's over.
So it's like DBZ where Goku tries to fight everybody in base form and it takes him 13 episodes to remember, oh, Super Saiyan. Yeah.
I thought that was 13 basically. Episodes of just powering up.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Kai where they condense down all the 13 episodes
where he decides that he needs to do it. And then 13 episodes of him doing it. And then 13 episodes of the fight.
Well, usually like in the Cell fight, it was 13 episodes of Goku powering up. And then we had another 13 episodes of Cell powering up. And then it was kind of like they hit each other once. And then there's another power-up scene because they have to go to the next level. And then it's just like 70 episodes to like three punches.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then we get another 12 episodes of Gohan crying.
Yes.
Why didn't you dodge?
But that's the thing is that one of our Patreons just again made another good point. Dragon Ball Z does sort of have the problem as well, where first they throw Krillin at the problem and then he dies, and then they throw Piccolo at the problem and then he is like, I can't do it, and usually loses an arm, and then Vegeta tries and he's like, I should be the king of the Saiyans and I'm the best person and I'm gonna beat it. And then he doesn't. And he finally crawls back with his tail, his proverbial tail between his legs.
I mean, at one point he does have a tail. I think
underestimate my pride. Gets punched in the face. Ow, my pride.
Yes. And then he goes back and he's like, hey, Goku, you need to take care of it. And then Goku goes and just starts the problem. And then he needs to go up to Super Saiyan 12 to actually solve the problem. So again, both of these series have this problem, but that's part of the Forsaken's issue. Is if Ishamael just showed up in the Two Rivers as Ishamael on Winter Night, the book would be 8 pages long.
Potentially.
But he doesn't. He just throws Trollocs at the problem.
You got to remember that the pattern in the Tavirin stuff, you got 3 Tavirin, even if they don't actively know that they're Tavirin, they're still Tavirin. So the pattern's going to be like, Ishamael showing up. And army.
Like, yes!
He tries the gateway and it keeps making a left turn at Albuquerque by accident. He's like, this is bullshit. Where is this place?
That is another one of the biggest problems with the
first off,
that's why Demodred winds up in Sara. Like, he's trying to go to Mon's Field and deal with the problem.
Man, every time I get in the gateway, I end up in Shara. What's up with that? Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Vale of the Wild. I guess I am.
Is this the Two Rivers? Is this India? Are you India?
He's the Christopher Columbus of the Wheel of Time.
Oh, no.
I found Amun's Field.
I was going to say, the real reason Ishamael keeps screwing up is because he's Vegeta and he always forgets to send Nappa.
Accurate.
But Vegeta, tricks are for kids.
It's but a frisbee, anyway, Vegeta. Yeah. Yes, catch it, Nappa. Catch it with your teeth.
Catch it with teeth.
My modeling career!
But yeah, I mean, you can talk about the Forsaken fuck-ups in overall general. And I think for overall in general, I think the thing that applies to all of them is they overestimate their power and what it can overcome. Because they are ridiculously strong.
They underestimate.
They underestimate the talent. Because by pure strength, for the most part, they're all stronger than most of the people they fight.
Oh, yeah.
By pure brute strength. And they overestimate that strength. They get overconfident and, you know, pride cometh before the fall kind of thing. And they overestimate.
Pride is summer?
Yes. Exactly.
All right.
and they overestimate and underuse their knowledge.
Yes.
Because all 13 of these original Forsaken that get released and are walking around between 997 and 998 NE, or whatever the date identifier is. I think it's NE, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, cool. I remembered something.
Call it 3E for, you know, third era.
Yeah, that works. But anyway, they're walking around for, you know, like anywhere from a year to 2 years before we're actually like really, really deep in the weeds here of the story.
Yep.
And they have all this incredible knowledge from the Age of Legends. And it's not like, oh, I've forgotten it all. It's, I remember everything. I can do weaves that you have never even dreamed of. And then they fucking don't.
Yep.
It's like...
Well, you think about it, the things you named already, which is overestimation and underestimation, both of those things have a common point, which is pride.
Estimation?
You mentioned. That too. Although not really, because it's over and under. It's never at there.
So, they're all the like estimation. They're all imperfect cell version Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was at my true power, imagine I could be perfect. I could destroy you. Oh, really? Let's see. Let him take Kalendor. I'm sure I can just snatch it from me. Oh, fuck!
That was a bad idea!
Yes, indeed.
Before the dark one, you done goofed.
Now we've talked about sort of the general of why they fail overall. So now let's get a little bit more into the nitty gritty.
I mean, we did skip a couple, like selfishness and hatred. Sure. And
yeah.
I mean, the giant plethora of problems they all have.
Well, and again, the infighting, which is also huge.
Well, that's the thing is that the Dark One himself says, you know, I encourage this because it makes them strong, which is not technically true. And you think the Dark One wouldn't be strong enough to
He's the drunk crackhead dad that just wants his son to be the strongest. Like, he is the worst possible father for the worst possible children.
Well, I mean, he is the worst possible being in the worst possible world.
I mean,
so
you're right.
It's like, it makes sense. He's playing the role perfectly.
Wait, let's get specific.
So, who would like to go first as to who they think is the most fuck up Forsaken and why?
That's a hard list to make because they all epically screw up in their own ways. Like,
yes, well, I mean, you'll get a chance to say the most epic screw up, but who overall?
Well, I was going to say, do you want me to go through the list? I'll just go through the list.
Justin, why don't you go ahead and start with literally the top one of 13 that is the most bad at succeeding.
I'm going to be listening, but I'm also going to be refilling.
Indeed.
I mean, if you think about it, this is the problem. I'm really bad at rankings. I'm always good at like hitting every single one with all their possibles.
Sure.
I would say...
I'm going to make you choose.
Gosh, I hate choosing.
Justin. Choose.
I choose all of them. I chose.
That's not fair.
Who said life was fair?
That's the opposite of choosing.
If you're looking at, well, I mean, are you wanting just in a generality, or are you wanting like in actual effect of the books?
Whatever you think is the most important. That's why this is kind of subjective, and we're probably all
this is heavily suggestive because some of them don't come in contact with other characters that would be considered worse if they had dealt with those people. Like Ravin, not really that big of a deal. Bilal, not really that big of a deal. Like they screwed up, but they didn't deal with like the core. Like Bilal went up against, you know, Rand, but everyone's going to try to go up against Rand. So what's the point? But you don't hear about Semirag for a long time, except for a random pop in every once in a while.
Sure.
You hear about Ishamael for the most, and obviously Morden later on. Lanfear, you hear about a lot until she goes through the gate. Demondred kind of like talks a lot and then just disappears. Mihail is Mihail. Samael wasn't completely stupid, but he kind of got left. So that's a whole other story.
Of all of these people, who do you think, in your opinion, whatever you rank being the worst at succeeding, the best at failing?
The proverbial gun to your head, pick one.
Yes, I wake you up in the middle of the night and shove a gun in your mouth.
You're probably going to get shot, just saying.
But... must. You must choose a Forsaken that is the biggest failure.
That can
I don't
be
know if I can pick one, but I can pick what the average people would think. That would probably be the safest bet. The average person would probably think Mogedion.
Oh, fuck, I'm average.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Just,
due to the fact that she literally fails multiple times. And not just a little bit. Not like, oops, I tripped over a rock. Like, I mean, you tripped up a rock off the cliff.
Did it again.
No, please don't.
I got fucking captured.
But you can make a solid argument that Asmodean also, or Asmodean.
Whatever.
Asmodean.
Asmodean screwed up because he got captured. Like that's a big oops. And it ultimately gets him killed. But I would say between Mogedion and Asmodean, probably Mogedion, because her effects multiple times as opposed to just Asmodean's single time, but single time that ultimately cost him his life, where Mogedion doesn't get killed. And that's kind of worse in a way.
So you're going with they get captured, which is the most strong failure. And since Mogedion has it happen multiple times.
Think of it this way. If Mogedion died, not by Balefire, in action of actually doing something and was still useful, the Dark One would probably just bring her back. Like, you can do that. But while she's alive, he can't, even if he wanted to.
Fair enough.
She's stuck. Like, she's collared. You have to find her amongst all of the collared people in Shanshan. It'd be like, okay, I found Mogedion. Now I have to get her out, which would be easy enough to do. Just go up with the collar, clip it off, and you know, you're done. But because of the screw up, she's not going to get that.
What is her initial main plan?
Her initial main plan?
Yeah, her initial main plan. Her
hide in the shadows because it's a terrible plan.
No, that's a tactic.
But it's a terrible plan.
But the tactic to accomplishing the plan that she wants to use that tactic to accomplish, like she disguised herself as Gildan and to try to keep eyes on Leandra and all this, but her ultimate goal is to use the Black Aja and manipulate them and force them and order them to assist her in finding the Domination Band so that she can take control of the Dragon Reborn.
Which also conflict part of that mistake is it conflicts with Masana, because Masana's like, I'm the head of the Black Aja now, and you're like,
where she fucks up is again that underestimation of her opponents, because Mogedion, she's exceptionally powerful during the Third Age, but during the Age of Legends she was run-of-the-mill Chandler. She was nothing special. In fact, wasn't she like an accountant or something, an investment advisor?
I thought Masana was.
No. She was Lilin Moriel.
Yep.
Oh, maybe.
Was an investment advisor.
Basically.
But
every Dark One needs one.
Yeah. Well, she does a shit job. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see his books. We need to audit the Dark One.
You think he's going to pick the crappiest person for the job?
I mean, you're punished. It's a desk job. But she underestimates...
That's the worst.
Elaine and Nynaeve.
Not being captured, being punished to a dust job.
Yeah. She underestimates Nynaeve and Elaine. They're young. They're new to channeling. She's like, there's no way. And Nynaeve deduces that they are under compulsion and gets pissed off, which unlocks her Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan powers of channeling.
destroy their
and
planets.
From that point forward, like, Mogideon is on the run, and then she gets captured, and then she gets set free, and then she gets, does she die and get reincarnated and captured? No, she just gets captured again.
She just keeps getting captured.
And that's it's an ongoing diatribe of getting captured. During getting her punished. Capture, where she's a prisoner in Saladar, she is literally through basically the Chandler equivalent of extreme torture, waterboarding, and bamboo shoots under their fingernails, being forced to reveal trade secrets of the Forsaken now. Because these are weaves that only they know how to do. That
the unwilling double agent, if you will.
Yeah. And because of that, the Dark One, like, Shaitan doesn't care why it happened. Because Shaitan's like, well, instead of giving them power, you should have just killed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately for her, the collar won't let her. Yeah. So it's kind of a catch-22, because everyone's like, you should have killed yourself. It's like, how? Like, there's no way to do
Shaitan
it.
Shaitan shows no mercy.
Yes, exactly.
Or logic.
And that would be in the eye. Shaitan shows no mercy.
Indeed.
That was going to be my argument for Mogideon.
Well, sorry, I stole
all your right.
Point. Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, to be fair, it is probably the most
the reason
easy
I think people...
to argue answer.
Oh, yeah. I think the reason people pick her is because she has the largest stack of failures, as opposed to what could be potentially the worst. Like, in my opinion, Semirog made the worst mistake, and that was trying to get Rand to kill Min.
Hmm.
Like, sure. That's probably hands down the worst decision of them. Like, I don't think even Moradin gets any worse than that, or Ishamael.
It might be the worst singular mistake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like
the,
in terms
the worst
of like
specific instance.
The
of
worst, the worst mistake is really ticking off the person who kind of has this weird connection to the Dark One and can access the true source. Granted, she didn't know that, but
yes.
that well, thing
that pop, is a
that,
huge
that thing
that is an asterisk that is doing a lot of heavy lifting on that particular.
I didn't realize he was doing crack. What are you talking about? But it's like it. It's something that she's assuming she knows everything and that yes. all things are like
are ultimate... as she sees them. Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the things is like, that's the number one failing really coming down to it is that each of the Forsaken think they have the most knowledge. And when they don't know something, they try to steal it from somebody else, usually one of the other Forsaken, and like, oh, I stole it from their network of spies, or I got this, or because, you know, they always go through and say, hey, you work for them. Now you work for me. And it happens all the time. But yep. they always try to assume they have all the whole puzzle put together, and then they jump into things. It's like, but you're dealing with Tavirin. You're always mm-hmm. dealing with Tavirin, which means there's always going to be something you don't know. Correct. And it's like, they can't argue that they don't know they're dealing with Tavirin, because everybody yep. knows they're Tavirin. It's not a secret. So when Semirog does that, it's going to cause more problems for her, because now you're getting struck down by your own, I don't want to say creator equivalent, I guess, by your own leader, the Dark One's power.
Yeah.
Like, that's embarrassing on so many levels, because it's like, yeah, you're doing good, Semirog. Boom, smite. Why not?
Yeah.
But that, I would say that because nobody else does that.
I would actually say that to me, Bilal is without a doubt the biggest failure. Honestly,
because
like,
he doesn't do anything.
He does nothing. He does nothing helpful. He does nothing useful. Again, he literally more. Like chases around a number of people with hellhounds for a little bit. And then those don't work because he underestimates them.
I mean, they do work. They scare the bejeebers out of them. But
sure, that was not their intent. I mean, that was a byproduct, but that wasn't his. And then, you know, he convinces Rand to pick up the crystal sword so that he can take it from him, not realizing that Rand is A, a lot stronger than he thinks he is, and B, Moraine's there and knows Balefire.
Yeah. Well,
which
it's
is
also
technically she's not supposed to know, but still.
Semantics. That's a failing on her part, you know.
Yes.
The failure of Moraine totally. Is knowing things she shouldn't know.
Exactly. Bingo.
But I mean, no, like, I, if you think I, about I, Bilal I, versus early Aghanor and Belfamel, Belfamel does what? Kills the Green Man? That's it? and the Green Man technically kills him before that happens officially.
Sure.
So, like, I mean, it's like, well, I'm going to burn you. Give me a hug.
Aghanor and Balthamel don't give one of the most powerful Sangreal to the most powerful channeler in the world
to use
against them later.
To be fair, Bilal didn't either.
Yes, he did. He
didn't give it to him. He allowed him to take it.
Okay.
Because he couldn't.
That's now semantics.
He couldn't.
You're now getting.
I am the king of semantics. So the prophecy says no one can take Kalador except the dragon, right? Correct. So keep the dragon away
from Kalador. It's better that you don't have it than he does.
But I mean, yes. If he had all the information, sure. But again, Taviren, there's always something he's going to be missing. So
yes.
If he wants
to, he's also not thinking ensure the shadow's victory. He's thinking, what can make me the most powerful? What can gain me the title of Nablus?
Which is actually, again, one of my reasons that I put him so high is because he is quintessential in some ways. Ends up hurting the entire team really badly.
To be fair, his goal is
to get his own selfish power even more than just keeping his team in the game.
That's and literally ends up every single one of them. Every single one of them is selfish.
All of them are selfish, but I think that he is the most selfish and the most faily, and his selfish failure ends up giving the light one of their greatest weapons later.
You could argue that Bilal actually does a lot of damage, because when Rand first uses it against the Seanchan, it does a lot of damage against Rand's troops.
Not that much. It does some.
Do you remember Bashir tackling him to the ground? You're killing us, man! That doesn't sound like a little bit of guys. That sounds like a lot of damage.
If I was in an army and one of our guys got killed by our leader, I'd be tackling him off the horse. If it was
a one shot, sure. But you got to remember when he uses Kalendor, that's lightning just going, hitting everything.
I agree.
So that there's no single incident. It's hitting everywhere. And every lightning bolt could kill five guys. And if there's 20 lightning bolts, you just took out hundreds of guys.
But
like
the
that.
Burgers and fries, why would you kill five guys?
Exactly. Why the five guys? The fries are so good. Yeah. But in terms of what he does, it harms the Seanchan, which kind of does help the shadow because the Seanchan eventually run into them. And it harms the powers of the light, I guess. Rand's side.
Barely harms the Seanchan.
Barely, yes. But I'm saying that's more than what Balthamel and Aghanor do in the first book.
Force.
That's more than what they do. Now, I don't know if you guys thought about this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I don't know, because I don't know how much knowledge is out there of it entirely. But if you think about Kalendor, how much is known, and was it known in the Age of Legends?
Yes.
Okay, so Kalendor is known in the Age of Legends.
Presumably.
And we presume that the people that are end up becoming the Chosen or the Forsaken would also know this stuff, being that they're from the Age of Legends.
Presumably.
So how would they not know, at least some of them, how would they not know that Kalendor has to be used by men and women?
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbygen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbygen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's
has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set. And join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic, and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
Because Bilal would be like, I got it. Okay. Like, how do you not know that you can't just use it by yourself?
Well, okay. To be fair. It is known as one of the most powerful sangreal in existence. One of. But
the Chotan Collar is the only thing more powerful.
While it has a fatal flaw, and we know that, and the forces of the light in the third age do figure that out at some point.
You say fatal flaw, I say key feature.
Sure. All right, programmer.
Nailed to the wall!
It is definitely one of those things where if you don't do that, it isn't really a fatal flaw. Like, if you try to take in as much power as you can take, you're gonna kill yourself. But
that's why it's a sangreal, though. It goes through it rather than you. That's like why the Chotan Call goes so well, because you can access that
one.
Power.
Has no sangreal, or that one has no limit. That's one of the problems with Kalendor, is that it's stated in the books that it will let you take in power until you kill yourself.
Yeah. Which that's where the whole Aes Sedai, you know, focus on like not pulling it, even though it draws us to it.
I actually don't know if the Forsaken would truly know about it.
Stop you from taking in more power than you can take in, because it just amplifies your power. Kalendor is different. It is very much described as being different. That it allows you to amplify your power to a ridiculous degree, but it will also still let you kill yourself. Whereas most Angreal and even most Sangreal will not.
I'm imagining like an anime version of this, and you know, Rand goes over and picks it up and he's like, activate limit breaker mode. Boom, all this thing. But here's the thing though, for all of what, like, I mean, it's one of those things that I feel like it wasn't used to its full potential, because If it has this much power, I don't know if you guys ever played the third edition, or yeah, is it third edition? 3.5 edition, I think. Wheel of Time D&D. The Wheel of Time D&D specifically.
Oh, definitely not. I've never played the RPG at all.
I got my hands on a copy for like $200 cheaper than what it usually runs for, because I got lucky on the day I bought it, I guess. So it's in great condition. But in it, they have one of the moves called Strike of Death, where basically you can like pick a creature class. So you're like Trolloc, all the Trollocs within a certain radius just boom, instantly drop dead. Like no ifs, no buts. Just as long as the spell goes off, they're dead. And it's like, there is, I don't know if it's considered called actually the Strike of Death, because I did a Weave research a while back, but I don't remember much of it because it was a while back. But if there is a spell like that, that Rand uses after he kind of goes to like Ascension mode with him and Luthien kind of like melding again, I think it's up in Saldea. But in terms of that, I think he also accidentally uses it in Tyr, where he accidentally strikes everything dead. Yes. But if that is something you could use, why would you not be like, hey, Nynaeve, hey, Elaine, or literally anybody else who's like Cadswain and Nynaeve, I could have you guys come to me and just walk around, lightning rod, zap everything to death. You do a lot more with it, where Kalendor is just kind of like, All right, we accidentally screwed up. Oh, we found out what its actual purpose is. I'm not going to use it.
But they do use it, though.
Well, I mean, not to its full potential. It's not like he uses it in the last battle to, like, go overkill with it.
Nah.
And that's the thing. Because like,
that was never his strategy.
Yeah.
Rand was never intended to actually fight the armies of the shadow.
Well, and because
the idea was that, you get to the big boss, you defeat the big boss, and everybody else falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think of what you do.
So the faster you do
your
job, the less people die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with that, but also the less people they have to fight helps them survive a bit. in terms of like, I mean,
well, but the longer they have to fight, that's the thing, is the faster you take out the boss, the earlier that the other
which he fails to do, I might add.
Well, he takes out the boss. I mean, he doesn't kill him, but he realizes
out implies the typical
not
phrase.
The right thing. But he
all right,
takes
fine. Neutralize the boss.
That also has kill implications too.
Out of the equation,
negative, sir. Negative.
Yeah, neutralize the target.
Neutralize the threat. Neutralize is meant like to remove the danger of.
Yes, indeed. But anyway,
in the way I was trained to use it. In
exactly.
All fairness.
All right, so
not legally.
I think that we are coming here to the end. We've been on for a good bit. I think we've all gotten a chance to go ahead and talk about each of our individual.
Well, actually, Daniel, haven't done yours? I guess you said Bilal, didn't you?
Yeah, Bilal.
Oh. Well, how about a flop where you say like who failed the least? There isn't one. Ishmael.
No, I don't know. I think I would put Ishmael and Demandred on the same thing because both of them make it to the last battle. Both of them are actually doing a lot of good stuff. I think in the last battle, Demandred actually fails harder than Ishmael, but he also, I feel like, doesn't fail quite as hard as he does during the rest of the series.
He's pretty much successful up until
like
the last book.
And Ishmael is the only one of the Forsaken that actually achieves what his actual goal is.
Yeah.
And his actual goal is a true death. No, a true death.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
And he does.
He just wants to cease to exist is his main goal.
So
well,
I would
okay,
agree
well, in
that,
that case,
right on his coattails would be damaged.
I don't know if I would actually, this is now redefining it. Because I was definitely saying that, you know, the failures and whatnot was for the Shadow. Not necessarily for their own personal goals. I think that Ishmael is the most successful, is the only one who's successful, as you said.
To be fair,
attaining his own personal inner goal.
I would argue.
I was
though,
thinking of the Shadow overall.
I would argue though
the
that
who fails the least
Ishmael / Morden actually his goals align the most with the Dark One.
Yeah.
So the Dark
that is
One
an inward goal.
What?
Not his inward goal, because the Dark One wants to take over the world and rule forever, and Ishmael is like, kill
well,
me.
He wants to break the wheel.
Yeah, he wants to destroy time, which
he just wants to destroy
would
time.
Grant a true death.
Which would make everything final by default.
And for the framing, like I never thought about it as fails for the Shadow, because intrinsically, the Forsaken never actually work for the greater of the Shadow.
Yeah. They're working on their own power.
It's never
their
goal.
It's
never what they really care about.
How can I get to Nameless status? Because they don't understand the Dark One's actual goal. I think if they did, they'd probably make a third party and be more like the, you know, Shadar Logoth side, where they're trying to like combat it. Like, no, I don't want the Dark One to win because then he's going to wipe everything out. But Ishmael, partially, I think the reason he became Nameless is because A, his goal aligns with the Dark One. B, he's actually actively making strides toward that goal where everyone else is kind of failing left and right. And like, Butterfingers. Ishmael doesn't just outright fail like that. Like even when he fights Rand at Falma and stuff, and even as he goes to all the other places,
he dies. Like he definitely fails.
Well, no. But the thing is he furthers it. It's like when they say, let the Lord of Chaos reign. Like in doing that, who causes the most chaos? Well, early on, if you were to say that at the very beginning of the series, let the Lord of Chaos reign, it, hands down, Ishmael caused the most chaos because he caused so much mental stress or something in the mind of Rand who ends up doing a lot of damage in a lot of areas, screwing up a lot of alliances that eventually patches them up. But he causes a lot of harm amongst the southern areas while they're all kind of like, we have to be opposed to the Dragon Reborn. No, we have to join the Dragon Reborn. And then the Shan Shan folks just to show up and just like, well, we're actually the ones who are going to take over.
Except a lot of those southern kingdoms are actually being pushed by Forsaken to either support or not support Rand. So it's not Ishamael doing that. It's the other Forsaken who have power there. I mean, again, he may set up some of it by having Rand go, or by, you know, appearing in Rand's dreams and encouraging him to go certain places, but it's not Rand who's doing that. It's the Forsaken who has power who's saying do or do not work with Rand there.
I don't think Ishamael intended to lose and die to Rand.
Yeah, none of
that. But I think there was the unintended consequence of that, where Rand is now thrust into the limelight of I am the Dragon Reborn.
Against his wishes, mind you.
Everybody knows it. And by knowing the way of the prophecies, everybody knows that the dragon will either save or destroy the world. So it throws the world into absolute chaos. Everybody is terrified.
Yeah.
And the greatest strength of any quintessential evil entity is fear. Because fear makes people make mistakes. It is the quintessential power of any evil power. That is what they use. They use fear because whenever people are afraid, they make bad judgment calls. They make mistakes. They're more susceptible to influence and control.
How
governments all across the world, past, present, and future, control their populations. It is most effective way to control.
Even think of it this way, like, by taking the mantle of Baal Zemon, Ishamael, even in his death, actually convinces, like, because, you know, he dies, but he's not actually dead in the end of the first book and whatnot. And he convinces Rand that, oh, it's okay, everything's safe, just say Shaitan a million times, because what could possibly go wrong, right? And even in that, he makes Rand overconfident, like, oh, what are you talking about? It's all done with. We already won. And then by that, he's in the mentality of, I can't possibly screw up. And then something else happens. And I think Ishamael's effect is more of a domino effect rather than a direct effect. I'm not saying like he does something that like, haha, I made Rand do this mess up or something. It's like Andrew was saying, he uses a fear tactic. Like in the Dragon Reborn at the very beginning, when he's traveling to Tyr, he's hounding him constantly. And it's making him act differently or somewhat a little too callous, like too quickly, where he almost kills Perrin in the world of dreams and stuff, where he's doing things, he's keeping him on edge. It's the same tactics like FBI or CIA would use, where they keep you awake for 72 hours or whatever to get you really loopy, and then they try to leak information out of you.
MK Ultra.
But it's just a tactic that maybe Ishamael wasn't planning on, it because I don't think he was planning on dying. But even despite his death, which would be considered a failure, he succeeds in pushing something else, which ends up leading to something else possibly succeeding. So in a way, his failure is like a half failure and a partial success. It sounds like a bit of a stretch, but if you look at the whole series
It's totally a stretch, but I appreciate it.
It's like Task failed successfully.
But it's definitely a stretch.
Task failed successfully. Well, I mean, he obviously didn't fail horribly, because the Dark One's like, all right, I'll bring you back.
Well, that was a punishment. It's literally stated in the books that was a punishment, not a reward.
Well, he gave him Nameless. He failed
so hard that
But he still gave him Nameless. He didn't just bring him back.
That's a punishment.
How is that a punishment, though? Just keeping him alive is a punishment. Putting him in charge of everybody is not a punishment. That's punishing everybody else, I guess, but...
Definitely punished Mogideon.
Yes, that is correct.
I would be in charge. No, I would be in charge. Well, he's in charge. Well,
exactly. The one person who doesn't want to be in charge. He's like, great, I'm punishing you with being in charge. But now you're in charge and you have to deal with it because I'm the Dark One.
I can see it as a punishment. I can see it as a punishment, but also to act as a motivator to you align the most, like you were saying earlier, you align the most with my goals. So punishing you like this will light a fire underneath you to keep pushing for this, because as soon as I make my goal, you get what you want.
Yeah. Well, I'd say he's probably the top choice in every instance for the Dark One to choose as his servant. But I don't, it seems odd because he would still be able to technically forward those goals without being Nameless, albeit probably not with the help of the Forsaken, the rest of the Forsaken, but the rest of the Forsaken don't really help that much anyway, considering how much they screw up.
Nameless, he just has to order them to do things. They're not actually helpful.
Yeah.
He just tells them to do a thing and they may or may not actually do it as he intended.
Oh yeah. I mean, Mogenion's like the classic example, like you will go and do this and she's like, cool, but I'm going to make a pit stop here and I'm definitely going to kill this woman that I hate. Oh no. I made her stronger than ever.
Fuck.
This is not even my final form.
Indeed. All right, guys. Well, I think that is all for at least me today. We hope that you have enjoyed this lovely episode. Thank you very, very, very much, Justin, for coming on. It was a pleasure to have you. Excellent to have different, you know, takes and things.
Different wrong takes, is that what you're saying?
I did not say wrong.
You were thinking really it, though. I heard it really loud.
You know, now I'm thinking that you were thinking that because you're the one who said wrong. But no,
I like overthinking things, so that's, it worked perfectly fine for me. So
good, I'm glad. Remind the people where they can go ahead and find you and the name of your podcast and whatnot, so that people can get more of your content.
So you can find me at Tales of a Red Arm podcast, Tales of Red Arm on Facebook, or at Tales of Red Arm on Twitter, Tales of Red Arm at gmail.com if you ever want to reach us directly. You can do it directly to me or James, my co-host, doesn't really matter. And you can also find us on Discord, which links are both in Twitter and Facebook. Or you can get it directly from us if you really don't want to deal with either of those platforms. But you can also look us up at anchor.fm/Tales of a Red Arm.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, as I said, thank you very much for being here. Andrew, do we have any other plugs and things that we need to do before we go, or are those all pre-recorded? Should we mention them? What are we up to?
They're all pre-recorded, and honestly, I can find a spot where the conversation kind of like hits a natural lull and edit them in. That's what I did, I think, last time and the time before.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nameless and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. You can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nameless will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are.
And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
You guys really should come up with like a t-shirt that says Demise Well Kitchen Class.
There we go. Hashimon Cook.
Just a hand sticking up out of a meat grinder.
Basically.
There wouldn't be much. Demise Well's Butcher Shop.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, that could work. I'll take my 10% from that.
They're both indeed. Very, very good ideas. I like it.
Indeed. Awesome. But thank you all for listening. Thank you very much, Patreons, who are here live with us while we are actively recording this. Thank you for joining us later on. If you are not one of our patrons, if you would like to become one of our patrons, we'd love to have you pop on over to Patreon. We do have some pretty sweet benefits at this point, as well as you just get to help us create more content, which if you think that's cool, then you're one of my favorite people. So there you go.
Yeah.
I helped.
Yes, you did.
But again, Josh is here with us in spirit. Sure he is. I know for a fact he is working on feeling better, whether he has to take children's style medicine or not. And he thanks you all for being here and looks forward to being back on with us for the next episode. But for those of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been your Bajan Mahal, Andrew.
And I have been your Amin Khan Mahal, Daniel. And from all of us here at the Black Tower, we hope that you are having a lovely morning wherever it is that you are. We hope that you're getting everything that you want. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Trouble just fitting.